What have you guys been kind of following along and going through scriptures? Has anybody made Titus their favorite book yet? It's like one of them books that really digs into your spirit and kind of grabs a hold of things that you don't look at sometimes, you kind of pass over. And we're gonna take a look and listen, I didn't pick out Titus to pick on anybody. Does everybody know that? Your pastor is not picking on you. This isn't why I grabbed this book. This is really something for us as a church body and as individuals to look at and regroup and see kind of how we're doing with the Lord individually and corporately. And that's kind of what Titus was doing. He was bringing a really good look at who we are and who, what Jesus has done for us, right? Because it's by Him, it's by grace we've been saved. It's not by works, although works are important because faith without works is dead. But the reality is that God did it all. He made a way for us, and we just have to accept that and walk in it. Now, there's a renewing process that goes on, and we're going to talk about that as we go along, but we have to understand that this life here on earth is a journey, right? It isn't all going to just be done for you. It isn't like, okay, we've reached nirvana now. No, that's not the way it works. It works. We go through trials and tests, right? We talked about that last week. Why does God put us through testing? To shape our character, to get us to understand the way that God works and how He wants us to be with Him and for Him. Can you flip that other light on? It's like about mall offside. That bothers me. That's kind of like when I do this to you guys. Does this bother you? Oh, it didn't do it. Nope, doesn't bother me a bit. I was doing it the other day. Who was it? I think it's Joe. He walked up and he just turned to my collar. No, it was Terry. I don't remember. Was it you or Joe? Fixed my collar for me. Yeah. Yeah. My tuck shirt halfway tucked in. It's okay. I'm just a regular guy. I'm not perfect. Nor do I want to be. In fact, my perfect is a 12 on a scale of 1 to 100. So that helps. You'll catch that later. All right. Last week we talked about what we must teach. So as a group of people, as a body of believers, we are required to share what we've learned. Right? We can't just keep it to ourselves. We have to mentor others. Right? That's a requirement that the Lord has asked us to do. Is that, and I think that has been a trait that has actually kind of disappeared. Everybody just wants to live their own life and everybody else is out of it, right? I do my own thing. You do yours. Most people don't even know who their neighbors are. They don't really want to know their neighbors, right? And so God has called us to a little different standard. He says, teach what you've been taught. So this mentoring process is something that we need to learn about and do. Like mothers are supposed to teach young wives, how to be good moms and good wives to their husbands. And so, if we were doing that more often, do you think we'd have the difficulties we have in young marriages today? It would probably help if we had some mentoring going on. And men, we talked to the guys straight up and you know, we talked about the older men and we didn't really put an age on that. So all you older men are good. And we did the same thing with women. You know what their criteria of older is. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to put a number on that. Nor does the Bible, which is a good thing. You need to train the other ones how you've been taught and what you've been taught. So tradition in what you've been taught is sometimes a good thing. Now, I know that there's a story about this gal who the grandmother and the mother and the grandmother started. She used to bake this beautiful ham, right? I mean, it was always wonderful. And for Christmas and for Thanksgiving, you know, she would always make this ham, right? And so, so the granddaughter was making this ham, right? And she cut the ends off and put it in there and got it all, done well and it was finished. And so they were all sitting down to dinner and she'd invite the mom and the grandmother. And the question she always asks is, you know, Grandma, why is it that we cut the ends off the ham? You know, cause that's like the best part. And she goes, why was that tradition? What makes this ham so much different than everybody else? And she says, silly, my pan wasn't big enough, so I had to cut both ends off. And it was kind of a generational thing. All the girls, the daughter and the granddaughters, all cut the ham off at both ends. And so that was what they learned. They learned how to make the ham that way. Now, that's something that in tradition, things happen. Sometimes we do things we don't even know why we do it. Right? So the best thing for us is to get a handle on why we do what we do, so that we can have an answer, you know, for those in the world and when they have the question. Remember, Joey says, does anybody ask you a question sometimes you don't know? You know, instead of trying to worm around and answer the question that's not a good one, not a good answer, the best way to do it is say, I don't know, but I'll get back with you with the right answer. Instead of, you know, giving a wrong answer. Because a lot of times I think the world has went into a pattern because they felt like there is no absolute answer. And let me tell you something, guys. There are absolutely absolutes in our world today. And the world will tell you there is no absolutes, but they are wrong. And I can prove it. There is absolutes, and there's a reason for these absolutes. And God put them into play for our benefit, to help us. Not to hinder us, but to help us. And so if we would listen and learn and grow and behave in a way that's pleasing unto God, the rest of the society would do as well, be better off, I believe. Well, I know. So we're going to dig into that a little bit and look at it. Last week we talked about what we must teach and the duties of the older and the younger, to be sensible, sound in speech. Today we're going to talk about, and I'm sorry to say this, but it's true if you really think about it. And if you're not willing to admit it, you know, maybe you'd spend time with the Lord. But at one time, we were all at one time in our past foolish. Everybody contest to that? Can you agree with that? Were you always smart from birth? Right? There has been times in our past that we have been foolish, right? And so when Jesus, do you guys remember the day you got saved? I mean, the transformation that took place when you've accepted Christ into your life, there was a difference. You grabbed a hold of that truth and the foolishness of your past. You were kind of shown that it was foolishness, and that you wished that, man, I wished I would have known this before. I wasted a lot of time. And so in our past, we've all been foolish. Now, when we have grown to a place of understanding in our relationship with God, we need to not forget our past. We need to not forget where we came from, because it's easy sometimes to point the finger at foolishness and forget that once upon a time you were foolish as well, and you learned and grew. And so when we teach what we've learned to others, we need to remember we learned and we grew to a place of understanding, and we need to give people grace in their place where they are in their walk with God. And everybody's in a different place and growing together. And so as we learn to be children of God and we're teaching others in the way that they should go, we need to remember not to be judgmental, not to be pointing fingers. We're going to talk about that in Scripture today. And who we are in Christ and what God did for us. So we can't forget. So making the gospel attractive to the world, that is a trick. Right? Because I believe that Christians have not done well with that. So let's look at it today. Let's just pray right now. We're going to get into the Word. Father, we ask that our minds would just be set on you right now, that our hearts would be open. Lord, this is your written Word. God, breathed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to look at that today. We want to analyze our working through it. Lord, analyze ourselves and how we line up with your Word. And Lord, if there's anything in our lives, God, that needs to be pointed at, stretched, where we need to evaluate ourselves and be honest with ourselves before you, and Lord, that you would be able to come in and cleanse us and renew, regenerate our lives in understanding. And Lord, we ask that you would have your way to it with us today. We invite you to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, remind them in chapter 3, verse 1 in Titus. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, and to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. Now, I know, guys, we do a lot of good deeds in our community and around this, in our area, and there's a lot of people that benefit from that. And the thing I got to tell you, you know, that my whole life I've been a little bit rebellious against certain things, and the authorities have been one of them. Now, that's been a generational curse in my life, and I got it from my father and my grandfather. I'm not very good with being okay with authority, somebody who tells me what I can and cannot do. You know, it's been one of those things that's been hard for me to submit to. How about anybody else? Okay? And there's reasons why I feel that way, right? But it does not matter. According to Scripture, it doesn't matter what your reasons are, right? We would be better off if we just would go with the flow in this authority thing, right? Whether we think it's, you know, right or wrong. If we think it's wrong, then there's ways to talk about that, but not in a way that's you know, degrading or wrong or a power struggle, right? And so we need to know that the Scripture says for us very, very plainly that we need to remind each other also to be subject to rulers, to authorities, and to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. And so those fit together, right? And so when we do things, it's like I was hunting yesterday, and I started like at 3 and went all the way through till dark. Well, right at dark, I mean, it was dusk-y, you know, there, and so it's a gray area. And the rules say, you know, you can't shoot one after, you know, an hour after sundown or something. I don't even know what the rules are. Does anybody know exactly what the rules are? I didn't know exactly what the rule was, but it was like I could have killed this thing, but it was like right at that time, and all this stuff was going through my mind about, okay, well, would I be illegal if I shot it right now? And my feeling was, my Holy Spirit was kind of speaking to me, going, don't do it, Dave, right? Does anybody remember we talked about that? We talked about listening to the Holy Spirit. If you're not supposed to do something, He kind of is there to speak to you and whisper to you. And so I didn't do it, right? There was a day in my day, in the past, when I would have done it, right? And justified it. And said, hey, it wasn't dark. I could still see it was a buck. But as we learn and listen and walk with the Lord, there is things that He whispers to us and tells us things to do and not to do. And that's when we need to obey and listen. Say, okay, right? I won't do it. So that's kind of what it's talking about. Because, I mean, it might have been an authority problem. I could have argued the fact, but I don't really want to go there. So just do it right the first time. Is anybody else fight with this thing? In your inner man saying, you know, who are they to tell me? Right? Well, there's rules for reasons. There's reasons there's rules. And authorities have those things. It's like your spiritual authorities. Does anybody know that God puts spiritual authorities in your life? How many have a spiritual father, somebody that speaks into your life, that you listen to? And when He says things that you don't really want to do, do you rebel against that and do it anyway when they're not looking? Right? Well, that's the thing that God's saying. If you will listen to the Holy Spirit in you, because He lives in you, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, He lives in you. And He speaks to you. He talks to you. And He tells you things. Not voices, you know, not, it's different than that. It's the Spirit of, you know when you know. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like your knower. That's the Holy Spirit. If anybody doesn't know that's what the Holy Spirit is, I'm telling you, that's how the Holy Spirit works. So, does everybody have that understanding of the Holy Spirit speaks to you and talks to you? Some people call it a conscience. Well, there's a difference between how the Holy Spirit talks and your conscience, but I'm just telling you, it's somewhere close to that. Okay. So it's very clear that we need to be ready for every good deed, and God has deeds for us. And we do good at that in this church, don't we? You know, guys, we do, girls too. I mean, guys, we do great. We are awesome in that area, doing good deeds. Sometimes we do things we don't want to do, but we do them anyway. God sees that. Right? And that's awesome. That's a great thing. So, and then to be ready for every good deed. And verse 2 says, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. So if you were just to read that, you know, and kind of pass through that and say, yeah, I think I'm doing good in that area. Okay. Does everybody kind of feel like they're okay with that? You know, we're kind of peaceable, we're gentle, we show, you know, consideration for people around us somewhat. I mean, I feel pretty good about it, right? But then you look at that word, you know, the very first word, that M-A-L-I-G-N. Has anybody ever looked that up? Can anybody tell me what that means? Huh? Well, I looked it up. So I happen to know what it means. It means this. It means speaking about someone in a spiteful, critical manner. Okay, now, has anybody done that lately? I mean, maybe not to them, but let's say when they're not there. How about that? Is it okay to talk about them when they're not there? And, I mean, literally, talk about them and be kind of, you know what they did? How could they? Or, you know, it just came right up, you know, speaking about someone in a spiteful, critical manner. Now, I'm not judging you, right? That's not what I'm going to do, but I can judge myself, right? I've done this, and I did it recently. And I didn't even know I was doing it. Come on. If you want to be honest with yourself and think about it for a minute, be honest. Because if you're lying to yourself, you ain't never going to grow. If you think you're all that and you're all good and you don't do these things, right, then go on and think about that, because one day you're going to stand before the Lord. And then he will show you your video and your life and say, see, and you said you didn't do that, but here's the video. But the reality is, if we really, really look at it and take a really close look at our behavior, sometimes we can get into a pattern of doing something and we don't even realize we're doing it, right? We could be talking about someone, and yeah, maybe it's true. Maybe they did do that. But what does it say? It says to malign no one. No, nobody, period. Doesn't say, well, if they did that, or it's okay if. No, it says don't do it to anybody. Not even if you don't like them. Or if they deserve it, maybe, even. Malign no one except for when they deserve it. No, it doesn't say that. And then to be peaceable, gentle. How's your gentleness going on? I gotta be gentler. I don't know about you guys, but man, my gentle thing sometimes goes away. And I stop being gentle because I'm in a hurry. Or I got things to do and you're bugging me now. Grandchildren. Can't be gentle anymore because you've crossed the line. Gentleness has gone out the window. No, gentleness is what they listen to. If you really raise them in the way that they'll go, your gentle speech and your gentle care for them, they'll listen to way better than bad behavior and yelling. Are you a rotten kid? They learn that, right? They know when the line is, and you teach that to them. Showing every consideration for all men. Okay. Showing every consideration only for those that you're considerate of. Is that what it says? No. Showing only consideration to those who deserve it. No. You got to do that to all. What does all mean in the Greek? All. That means everybody, no matter what. So I just stopped at that second verse and thought about that for a second and then analyzed myself. And I pray you do the same. Don't look at me and judge, because when you do that, what's the Bible say? Right, you got three fingers pointing back at you. That says, don't judge or you'll be judged the way you judge, okay? That's the exact words. Didn't mention the fingers. That was paraphrasing. So when you analyze yourself, and that's what the Bible says, what does it say? You are the one that consecrates your own self, right? It's not my job to consecrate you, even God, right? He's already done everything that he can do for you. Now you need to line up and do for yourself what he's done for you and grab a hold of it. So what does that mean? That means we have a responsibility for our walk with God and others, right? And it is, if we are really listening to the Holy Spirit in our life, we're going to find out, and we will see that there's work in the area of our relationship with him and our relationship with everyone else. For we all once were foolish ourselves. Right? That's where I want to bring it back to. Remember, I started with that. We all once were just didn't care or didn't know. We were foolish and disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy and hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by washing of regeneration. Let's underline that word, regeneration. And the word renewing by what? By who? The Holy Spirit. Now, that's where the rubber meets the road. We need to talk about this. How do we get renewed and regenerated in the area of what we were just talking about? Do you think that if we try hard enough, I'm going to be good, that it's going to happen? No. It's by the Holy Spirit's regeneration and the renewing that changes us. Does everybody get that? So how do we connect with that? Right? And the whole area of understanding of relationship with Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to regenerate and renew us is a process. And it starts by salvation, right? You can be saved, and it's by grace that you're saved, right? So is that all there is to our walk with Christ? By grace we're saved. We are saved. We've asked Jesus into our life. Now we're just going to go through life and que sera, sera. That means whatever will be, will be. Is that how it works? No, there is a responsibility on a believer's part to look at our behavior and how we're doing. Because why? Because we're supposed to be able to, the gospel message has to become a place where people want to know more about this Jesus. And if you're no different than the world, if you malign and you gossip and you're not peaceable and you're not gentle and you don't show consideration for people in the store, you have no consideration for people on the road that you drive with, if you get all ticked off at them and yell at them at the window on the way by, right? Is that what God wants us to act like? No, we've got to be different. And the only way we can do that is by this thing we just looked at, this thing I told you to underline. Regeneration. Renewing. And this renewing happens by what? The Holy Spirit. Okay, so what are we missing? Right? What is keeping us from having this relaxed knowing that God is in control and we don't have to try to make things happen, and we don't have to get mad about what somebody said or our relationship and husbands and wives. Listen, the enemy loves to get this going on between the husbands and wives. Right? He loves to get this going on. You said, no, you did. You did it. And we wouldn't be in this argument if you hadn't have. Right? Well, come on, guys. Is that happening in your marriage? Has it ever happened in your marriage? Never. No, but this is the battleground that the enemy loves to get. Why? Because he knows that if he can get a wedge between people who love one another, then he's got you. You're no good to nobody if you're like that. And listen, it's going on all over the place right now. I mean, the enemy is at work because in the last days, right, what is the enemy going to do? He's got to take everybody he can with him. And he'll do it any way he can. And so if we partner in any way with any of these things and not analyze ourselves and be honest with ourselves and where we are and look at it for really who we are and be accountable to others for the way we behave, because the only way we're going to change is to bring it into the light and say and admit it, I am an alcoholic and so I can't drink. If you come to that place, you got to come to the place of knowing that you're not doing what you should be doing in order to grow. Right? You have to come to that place in your own life, whatever it is for you. I know I have an anger problem, God. I know it. Now I need you, Holy Spirit, to regenerate and renew me. That's how it works. You have to open up your mouth and ask the Holy Spirit to do His work in you. Because why? You can't do it on your own. Anybody figured that out yet? You can try and try and try and try with all your might, and still you're going to find yourself coming up short. So the only way you can work and act in the way that God wants you to is to allow the Holy Spirit to work with you and then be accountable to your own life by this consecration process. Because consecration isn't just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. It's an onward walk with the Lord, where when He reveals, we respond. He reveals, we respond. And we do that by talking about it, being honest about it, and saying, this is what I'm working on, and get serious about growing through it. Otherwise, you are always going to have the problem. Right? Yeah. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work, and you've got to be honest with yourself to know that you have to do this. And it don't take a 12-step program to get it done. No, it just takes the Holy Spirit and your willingness to work with Him and others in this matter. Is everybody okay with that? I mean, am I wrong by saying this? I mean, if anybody thinks that this isn't the real word and that this is wrong, then you need to challenge it. Say, hey, I disagree. All I can say is you can disagree all you want, but I can show you scripture after scripture after scripture that will show you this is true. This is the truth. And the truth sets us free. Right? We can try to, you know, bend it and work it out in different ways, but it just don't work any other way. So, whom He poured out upon us. Now let's go back. Let's back up to 5. It says, He saved us not on basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration. I want to say washing, but there's no R in there, so I'm working on that. Washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through who? Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. So that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. So, let's look at what good deeds are. Is good deeds going and helping the widow ladies? That's part of it. But is a good deed evaluating ourselves and readjusting our behavior pattern? Mm-hmm. And that's what Titus is talking about here. When he's talking about good deeds, he's talking about the deeds that we can do in and of ourselves so that we would portray good Christianity to those that are around us. Right? What you do, people are watching you. You get that? What you're doing every day, people are watching, and they are evaluating you according to the standard of you calling yourself a Christian. Because if you call yourself a Christian, and if those two don't match up, guess what? Something's not fitting. And the world looks at it like, they're just another religion. And I gotta tell you, sorry, but that's the way the world sees us. As a religion, not relationship, and not little Christ. Right? Because that's what we're supposed to be like. Where Jesus was our model, and if we're regenerated and renewed, and allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work in us, guess what we're gonna look like? Right? They're gonna see Jesus in you and me. And that's what makes it real. That's what makes people hungry for it. But if they don't see that, then we need to start doing good deeds. Right? Not only for ourselves, but for others. But we should start here. If it ain't working here, it's not going to work out there. If you're telling other people not to get a divorce, and in your mind you're thinking, all I want to do is get a divorce, something don't fit. Right? That means that we're thinking like the world and we're not helping the world think like the Lord wants us to think. So there's a gap between the two. And that was just one example. Right? So to evaluate yourself, you got to ask yourself, what am I thinking? What is my behavior pattern? How am I acting? Then you work on that. Then the other people will see that truth. And only you can do that. Where I leave off. end of 8. Let's go back to 8. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. That means for everybody. Not just us men, but ladies, you too. It's mankind. If you translate that word, it is mankind. It's not just for men, male species. Everybody understand that? So ladies, you're not off the hook. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law. Which law is he talking about? Huh? Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments. Okay? So do we do that? Which day is the Sabbath? Well, you can get an argument about that. Uh-huh. Yeah. So what's it saying here? Don't get into those arguments. It's not worth it. Listen, are you saved? You love Jesus? Right? Then the Sabbath day, was it made for the man, or was man made for the Sabbath? The Sabbath was made for us. So if you can get into those arguments all you want, but it isn't going to change the fact that God wants us to take a day of rest and put Him first in that day. Whatever day you want to do that. So Sunday is not a good day for me, because I'm actually kind of working, right? Kind of. So he says, don't get into those disputes. How about, there's all kinds of different religious things that people get into these huge debates about. And it's not profitable. It's not profitable for the kingdom, and it's not profitable for me and you. Because if we want to get caught up in those huge debates, everybody loses. Nobody wins. So be careful not to go there. I mean, live your life according to what God wants you to live it, and everything else will work out. And there are some absolutes. Remember I said that. But is it your job to make everybody understand the absolutes? No. That's the Lord's job. Your job is to do what this thing is written, how it's written for you and for me, and we'll go from there. If we're doing it, everything else will work its way out. So don't get in those debates. Not profitable. In fact, it says it's worthless. It says reject a factious man after the first or second warning. Now, does anybody know what that means? Does that mean telling stories? Doesn't. Not what it means. Do you want me to read it? Here's what it means. Given to or promoting internal dissension. Internal dissension is stirring the pot. You stir the pot? How about in your own family life? Do you talk to your wife about your kids, or you talk to your kids about your wife or your husband? That's stirring the pot. If there's something going on in your marriage that nobody else needs to be hearing, right? But it's stirring the pot, because if you can get them on your side, then they'd be against them. Right? That's dissension. How about in the church? More churches are wrecked from this thing right here than anything else. Somebody getting in the middle and stirring the pot. Talking about that. Then you know what they're doing? It's wrong. I can prove it. And if you can get on my side, we'll get a bunch of people and we'll fix this. Don't be part of that. Don't get involved in it. In fact, the Bible is very clear about it. And anybody who's doing that, what is your response? What should your response be? And if we can't go talk to them, I don't want to hear it. Right? Do we do that? No. Usually we go, I know. I don't like them either. They're turkeys. And let's get a bunch of other people to join our turkey pot. And we'll oust them. No, don't be like that, because it says here, this is the warning. It says reject, and that means you and I need to do that. We need to see it for what it is on our own, right, and just stop it right there. Just say, look, I don't want to be in this conversation. This isn't good. All this is doing is stirring the pot. It's not going to help anything. And it's okay to talk about. It's okay to say that in love. You don't have to say it meanly. You can say it very gently. You know, and even if it's questionable, conversation's questionable, if you hear the Holy Spirit saying, you better stop. And you better do it with love. Alan and I was talking one day, and I was talking about someone else. They weren't there. And Alan said, should we be talking about this? We all do it, right? Nobody here can be unscathed by this behavior. But we need to be honest and say, okay, you're right. We shouldn't be talking about this and saying, well, who do you think you are? I can talk about this if I want. No. Hey, a wise person listens to good counsel. And if it sounds right, by all means, behave. Receive. Do it. Right? I received that counsel. It was good. Yeah, I said, yeah, you're right. They're not here. And we ended that conversation. So if we did that for each other, right, if we held each other accountable, there would be a lot less of this stuff going on. Right? Would be. But the problem is, our sin nature likes it. Right? The sin nature likes to get off to the side and get going with this. And the enemy just feeds it. And I've seen it happen. It grows. It's like a cancer. Once it gets started, you get another person in on it, and I seen them do that too. And then another person jumps in, it grows, and pretty quick this person's over here, and everybody hates them. Yeah, we've kicked them out of the family. We all hate them. No, that's not what God wants us to be like. He wants us to work with people through the issues, not just oust people out of them. Or malign them, talk bad about them when they're not there. And so the Bible says don't do that. And reject it. Reject that. And then do it once, and then a second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. What does a person do if they do this? They condemn themselves. So if they're doing this, listen, this is very important to understand. If you are doing this, or if I'm doing this, and we don't get a handle on it, we wonder why our prayers aren't getting answered. Wonder why all of a sudden I feel dry or I'm not growing. I feel spiritually a little bit dead inside. Don't know why. Why aren't you hearing my prayers, God? Why aren't things going the way they should go? And you're asking the question why. Well, listen, if you back up where it says that what the Holy Spirit does for us, this regeneration, this renewing, if you're crying out to the Lord about things, the first thing you want to do is evaluate your relationship. Evaluate what the Word tells us as believers. And then ask yourself, why are these things happening to me? Because God is trying to get your attention so that you will consecrate yourself once again. Die to that selfish nature of yours and mine. And what's the Bible? I mean, it says it over and over and over again in Scripture. Humble yourself. And does anybody like to be humble? All I can say is it's very good for you and me. Otherwise, we were very proud people. We really think that we're all that, and we want everybody to jump on our bandwagon. And God is saying, no, listen, you need to humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Look at who you are, what God's created you. He's got great gifts for you. You are awesome. But you are nothing without God. Right? He can turn a big zero into a hero. And listen, we're all zeros without Him. And so, as we evaluate ourselves, and we can find ourselves here. Listen, I did. Right? And I'm the pastor. None of us are perfect. We haven't arrived yet. So God is asking us to humble ourselves, evaluate ourselves, and say, God, forgive me. I don't want to do that. And be honest about it. Do any of you guys want to change? Do any of you want to get rid of the old and allow the new to come in? If you really do want that, then you have to come to that place of saying, Holy Spirit, renew me. Regenerate me. This regeneration process goes on by our willingness to accept what Christ did on the cross for us and move into that regeneration. And it's up to you. I or nobody can do it for you. And nobody can do it for me. Because Christ is the one. He's the one that does it. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I get renewed and regenerated. And so this isn't a beat up thing. Right? It isn't, oh, look at you, you did this. No. It's saying, wow, I just learned something about myself. And I want to grow. I want to change it. That's what this is about. And being honest about it. Say, yeah. Hey, I find myself here. I found myself doing this. But I don't want to be that way because I know it's a bad witness. And so, Lord, I need you to change me. I need you to help me. And today we're going to do that. And we got a couple minutes to do it. So I want to give time for us individually just to evaluate ourselves a little bit. If you haven't caught something yet, then ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there something that you want me to see in this? And if you get nothing, praise God, you know, we should be learning from you. But if you do, then the first thing you need to do is admit that and then deal with it. I mean, just, and hey, you know how easy it is? Because guess what? It's by grace you and I are saved. It's not by your works or you being good enough. Because you ain't never going to be good enough. Jesus did it for you. And so when the scripture reveals this to you, right, then you're responsible for it. Then it's up to you. If you get it, you see it, and you caught the conviction, you say, yeah, Lord, I get it, I see it. Now it's up to you. Because it's awesome to show us. It's so cool what God does in gentle love. You know, He shows it to us, and then we get to get clean, get through it. Say, yeah. Now, next time when it happens, and the Holy Spirit says, okay, you're working on this one. And you go, yeah, you're right. Right? Then you just respond in the right way to it. And it's that easy. It's that regeneration thing. And the Holy Spirit will show it to you. Amen? Is everybody in? So, Alan, if you put some music on, here's what I want you guys to do, is that I want you just to spend a little time, and do we have a prayer team available? I don't know who's on the list. I haven't asked for a prayer team for a long time. Sorry, I didn't even warn you. But Dan, let's just grab you and Terry and Joey, and who else is on that team? Anybody available? Judy, would you come up? Guys, when I say humble yourself, it don't mean that you're lower than the rest of us. I mean, these guys might trade places with each other. I just picked them because they're here, and they love to pray for people. So, as we evaluate our relationship with Christ and our regeneration by the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit's touching your heart anyway. Evaluating yourself, and you just want to claim it, then come up and ask for prayer, because that is the beginning. And that's when God is allowing you. You're saying, yes, Lord, I'm allowing you to do your work in me. And we have to take that step. It is just an act of our obedience to start the process. Hug. Just come up and we'll pray about it.